Dear Lord, we give you all the glory once again for expressing your love and mercy to each and every one of us.
Thank you for your word that has come to us today
to open our eyes to understand your plans and purpose,
Lord, for our lives. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what your word has done, the healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, answers to prayers, the higher ground that you have taken your people, because we know for sure that there is never a time that a mortal will come before God and never live the same. Because you are supernatural. You are not humans like us. Even we humans, that your grace has rubbed on, when we meet another man and that grace is expressed, the man will know that he has met somebody. And this is how many people came to you when they see your grace in the life of your people. How much more you, the word of life, the author of life, the one that can do anything. We are grateful to you that we are never the same. And we are trusting you this evening that once again you will take us to higher ground. And you will add to our blessings. You will cause our joys to increase. You will give us deliverance. You will give us healing. Lord, you will still fill with the Holy Spirit. You will bring confirmation to your promises that you have given. We are grateful. We commit ourselves to you once again that you have preeminence and that all the glory and honor will be yours at the end of the day. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves to afternoon service as we open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8. And then Luke chapter 1, verse 36 to 37. 2 Kings chapter 5. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Luke chapter 1. Reading verses 36 and 37. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. Let's be seated. We're grateful to God once again for the privilege to be together. First, I couldn't do that on Wednesday. I want to appreciate the church for praying for me when I went to Abeokuta last weekend. God bless you. I brought greetings from the people over there. And they are also eager, expecting the convention to come. So when they were told, you know, they were very, very happy. They have been praying for us too. So, I think generally all of us will meet at the convention. God bless you. I appreciate it. So by the grace of God, as a continuation of the sermon we started on Wednesday, the supernatural God who performs
miracles.
The title is a merger of the two sermons, Jehovah of Miracle and the Supernatural. Praise be to God. We started by looking at the supernatural God. What makes him supernatural? There are so many things that make God supernatural. He is self-existing. So that's why he's supernatural. So, and he is the only creator there is, who can create anything that he needs at any time. So he shares that quality with nobody. The only creator there is. And the quality of being omnipresent, which the prophet said, because he's omniscient, because he knows all things. That is why he is everywhere. And he can do all things. Because he's omniscient, then he can do all things, which means he's omnipotent. So being omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent is only a supernatural being that can have those qualities. Even the devil that is supernatural, the devil, you know, the devil is also supernatural, but his own is a perverted one. God created him and gave him a little measure of supernatural, and so he is not a rival to God in the terms of quality of power. He's not equal with God. When we say the devil is also supernatural, he's the creature of God. In Ezekiel chapter 28, that is clearly stated. Can you project that while we move on? Ezekiel 28. Let's pick from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. That was Lucifer. That's Satan. He was created. He's a creature of God. And so being a creature of God, God only gave him a measure of supernatural. And when we truly understand why the existence of Satan, then we will then know that God did that to give a reason for his own existence. To give a reason for his existence. He has to allow the devil. He has to include him in his economy, in his program. As the prophet told us that you will not appreciate light if there is no darkness. It is when there is light, it is when there is darkness that you will now appreciate what light is. The prophet said you cannot appreciate a good woman until you have seen an ordinary one. You know? You won't appreciate original until you have suffered from the hand of the counterfeit. Yeah. And so, that's the way God did it, in his great wisdom. Because it's all his economy that is, he planned the whole thing, designed the whole thing, that knows, okay, this will come here, this will come here, this will come here, this will come here. This will be needed here, this will be needed here to accomplish this. Being the supernatural one, all those things, he factored them into his program. And he made the devil a little supernatural so that, you know, he will pose the challenge that God expects him to pose. If the devil was to be a natural being, he would have been killed all along. I think I remember Pastor told us that a minister once said that, you know, everybody will say, the devil made me to do this. The devil made me to do this. The devil made me to do this. He said, and the devil was crying. Sorry. The devil was crying, and somebody asked him, why are you crying? He said that everybody, once they do what is wrong, they say it's the devil. The devil made me to do this. The devil made me to do this. If we knew where the devil lived, people would have gone to kill him. Why do you think criminals are arrested? And those who committed crime that relates that, I mean, that relates to capital punishment, they are killed. It's to eliminate the bad ones from the society, isn't it? And people will have run out and see the devil. They will have killed him wherever nation he was. Law of the land will have caught up with him. They will have killed him. Being a natural human being. But the law of man does not catch up with the devil. It is God's law. That is above him, that catches up with him. So it's only God that is above him. And the people with whom God has shared his supernatural part. Hope we understand that. Hallelujah. I ask, have you prepared that? The song. Alright, because Mowawa merely. Praise be to God. Our God is supernatural because He has no limited power. He has no limited power. He's an unseen God, the invincible. He can't be seen with the eyes of man according to Revelation chapter 4, where he lives, where he dwells. We see him. But a supernatural God, with the supernatural power, he came down and appeared in the flesh. And that is because he's supernatural. That is why he can do that. Transform himself into natural for a purpose. That power the devil has not. That's why we talk about the power of creation belongs to him alone. If the devil had the power to create, he would have created his own people. He would have killed all of us. If he has equal power with God. But he can't. He didn't have the power of creation. And that is why he had to come in a perverted way, perverting all good things that God has created. He started that in the beginning. He introduced his own seed to the world through perversion. Because he can't create. There's no power to create. What God has created, he will just use his supernatural power to pervert. And that is why he went to that animal to speak, to enter into that animal. And then he was able to accomplish his purpose through that animal. As Brother was reading the scripture in the morning, in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about the Lucifer, where we read to here, in chapter 14, he's talking about him again, son of the morning. Why hast thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to the heavens. You see, a natural man that can do that. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Because he was created giving supernatural power, that he was doing that, and God allowed him to do that so that God's own supernatural power can crush down on him. Praise be to God. Let me read a few things here. We appreciate our God for the message of Malachi 4. Outside of this, we don't know what we will have been. The enemy will have battered our lives, make us seriously miserable.
But we are grateful to God.
I want to read from God identifying himself by his characteristics. Preaching 1864, March 20, paragraph 5:1. But you see, Moses, being the correct prophet of God, not only had the fundamental past, but had the identification of God. See, he was in line of duty exactly what was promised for that age. See, promised for that age, not for the age of Noah, but for the age then. I will take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They were on their way, and Israel was identified with their prophet Moses, with the message of that age. God's characteristics identified in Moses. A pillar of fire was following him. He also had the atonement in action, not speaking of it, but had it in action. Not what will be, what is right now. Notice he had a brass serpent that had been lifted up for the sickness and diseases of the people. Therefore, Moses was practicing divine healing. He had the atonement, the brass serpent. The prophet told us that God's supernatural power bringing to the people. The devil has no healing power. The devil cannot heal. Well, I believe we all know that. It's not the healer. It's only God that is healer. And healing is creation. Healing is creation. And so, it takes the creator to bring healings to the people. For tissue to build up again, it takes creation. Hallelujah. Atonement, the brass serpent, symbolizing that God was in the camp and the people were looking on that brass serpent and being healed. And that's a supernatural thing also. As we speak of God being supernatural, every manifestation of God proves that he's supernatural. Let's pick a few examples from the Bible as we continue. Back in the father, in the time of Abraham, God appeared to him supernaturally to tell him to leave his father's house and move to the land that he was going to show him. In every dealing of God with Abraham, it was a supernatural encounter of God with Abraham. God coming to tell him things of the future. And that's why the prophet told us that the way God is known among the people is by being prophetic. The way God is known among the people, and being prophetic is supernatural. Because that tells of tomorrow, or tells of an event that is to happen in the near future. And the near future could be a minute's time, could be an hour time, or a whole day, 24 hours, could be a week, could be a month, could be a year, could be years. Just like we sang the song, that is why you are called Jehovah. What you say you will do is what you have done. The promises that he had made, he has been true to them. Those ones that he had made that pertain to the past, the history that we have today, as written in the Bible, what we have just read about Luke chapter 1, that we're reading about Moses, that we're reading about Zechariah, Elizabeth, reading about Mary, and the rest of it, they have become history. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 has become history. The fulfillment of Isaiah and the rest of the scripture that pertain to the first coming of Christ, that become history that we are referring to today. So what he said he would do, that he had done. And what is the scripture being fulfilled now, as it's been taken in the Sunday school, the revelation of the man of sin. I think I'm correct. Alright? Is things that are unfolding. Prophecies that are unfolding. Events have been made clear by prophecy. They are the thing that he promised that he is doing. A pope has been elected from US. He said it. It's a promise of God. And then all other things that are connected with that man, they are in process, they are being fulfilled. That what is going on now. So that what he's doing, what he promised is what he's doing. That's why it's called Jehovah. Nothing can interrupt that. And that is why it's supernatural. I can decide to plan a thing and say this is where I'm going to go about it. Circumstances and conditions can interrupt me. It has no interruption. No single interruption. As he has planned it. We are the ones that look at the delays. We are the ones that look at hindrances. They are factored into his program. That's why the prophet said nothing catches God unawares. So, if he's omniscient, if he's omnipotent, if he's omnipresent, and if he's infinite, knowing the ending from the beginning, then nothing is new to him. What is going on? So there is no challenge, there is no condition, there is no situation that is meeting God, you know, as a new information. Even the prayer that we will pray tomorrow morning in the family altar or in the evening, he already knew the words that will come out of our mouth. He already knew it. Oh, okay, should we not pray again? That is not what we are saying. We are telling you that he knows it. So then we should be appreciative of the fact that he sees, he hears us. As we continue here, one of the ways that we have seen God as a supernatural God is answers to prayers. A mortal man will open his mouth or open our mouth here and place a request before God. And in about that same day, sometimes you see the answer that same day. Sometimes the day after. Sometimes a week after, sometimes a month after, sometimes a year after, depending on how he has planned the response to come, the answer to come. Are you getting me now? We will talk here. You have a request in your mind, and then you open your mouth and talk. This is what I want. And then you see the manifestation of that your request coming to pass. It's not ordinary. It's not just things are not just happening like that. It's not just happening. It is because you have spoken to a supernatural God whom you have not visibly seen. You have not visibly seen him, but we believe his word. And that is why that song says that Obata Ori Tarisha Woy Oshubarere. You are not visible to us. At least you understand what I mean by it's not visible. Though we know that everything around us speaks of his majesty. According to the book of Psalms, all heavens declare the majesty and the glory of the Lord. All the creation. But we are saying that him in his being physically, though he was here in flesh, but now that he has returned into the spirit, we know he came down in the pillar of fire, but he has gone back. Now, to see him visibly now, we have not seen him, and we are communicating with him, and he's responding back to us. We place requests. Sometimes we have requests in our mind that we have not even prayed about. And you see that supernatural God knowing what is in your mind, knowing your desire before you even express it, and is granting it. Amen. Now we saw him at the time of Abraham asked him to leave and promised to give him a child. This time, self, now well. It's 4:30 already. Alright. Let me just read this. Paragraph 53, continuation. He also had a smitten rod following him, and that was identifying God to keep the waters of life among them, joy and salvation, that they will not perish but had everlasting life. It was a type of that smitten rock in the wilderness was a type of Christ being smitten. He's a supernatural God that can do that. Then they were traveling in the line of promise. That was another identification to showing God's characteristic. No matter how fundamental this other one was with the world, he had the fundamentalism plus the identification. That's Moses. Balaam had fundamental alone, but Moses had fundamental plus God's identification, the supernatural presence of God. The identification that the prophet is talking about is God's supernatural manifestation in circumstances. And the characteristics of God among them. God identified himself. Two prophets, both of them prophets, and both of them fundamental, but God identified his characteristic in Moses because he had the characteristics of God with him. Now again, God's characteristics is always supernatural. His characteristics always supernatural. And the word supernatural means what you cannot, that is above man, what is beyond man, what is not limited to the natural law. It's not limited to the natural law. It's not subject to time. It's not subject to any condition, not subject to human weather. Everything that we are subject to, the supernatural is not subject. In fact, the supernatural controls the natural. It controls the natural. Anything that will happen in the supernatural determines it. God determines it. Even the devil, the way he operates, it is what God has said for him to do. And he can't go beyond it. Is there anyone here who believes that the devil does what he likes? Is there anybody here that feels that the devil can do what he likes at any time? If you are here, that's a wrong belief. It has shown that the devil, you know, can do anything on his own volition. He can't, on his own volition. Because anything that will happen on the heart, we have to bring glory to God. Whether it is positive or negative. We might see it negative, but God knows what he's doing. He wouldn't allow the devil to do anything except he will take glory out of it. Because he will not share his glory with anybody. So the devil is also a tool in God's hand. So a tool on his own cannot operate. If you have a chisel in your hand, you need to take hammer. Chisel cannot chisel wood on his own. You have to take an hammer to strike it so that it will chisel what you want. The carpenter that use chisel to make, you know, holes in the wood, you know, so that they can hyphen it. The Excel is automated, and that is automated is also being controlled by an engine. If you detach it from the automated machine, it's useless. So the devil is a tool in God's hand. If you want to understand that better, go and study the life of Job. You will know that the devil had made several attempts to go to Job to destroy him prior to the time that he appeared before God. That's why God is called his attention. Have you seen a servant? He said, He's protected by you. A man cannot be enjoying that if you are not. It's because he's blessed. You are blessing him, you are protecting him. That is why he's faithful to you. That's why he's this and this and this. God says it's not. He said it is. It is. It is not. It is. If you know it is not, allow me to go and deal with him. And the first time that he went, God, the hedge God built around him, God had not removed it. God, he went back and said, you have built a hedge around him. Nobody can touch him. Why did he not go and attack? He can't. He can't break God's protection until God gives him permission. So we are talking about the supernatural God who performs miracles. So God does what pleases him. Many times we will expect God to do this, to expect God to do this. If he's not going to take glory out of it, he won't do it. And no matter how much you don't want God to do something, if God is going to take glory out of it, that is what he's going to do. Because he does what pleases him. Because he takes glory in everything. Hallelujah. And so we see Abraham, as we're trying to, because I have the way I wanted the service to go. God asked Abraham to leave, and he left, and then in the course of that, God promised him a child. God being faithful to his promise, after 25 years, the child came. And God told him that, okay, this child is up to this age, you just take him and go and sacrifice him for me on the mountain that I will show you. Mountain Mamre. Abi? And then Abraham packed the child and was going. Faithfully took everything and took the child to that place. In his mind, he was going to do it. Abraham laid the boy down and took his knife. After looking up, I said, well, you gave me this child. But this child, I know that all other promises you have given me, they are connected with the boy, this boy. And those promises can only come to power when the boy is alive. It's only when this boy is alive that those promises have come to pass. And you gave the promise of this boy, you will give me this boy. And through this boy, I'll be father of many nations. And this boy, I receive this as a fulfillment of your promise. And I know that anyhow, this boy will live again. That's Romans chapter 4. And he took his knife. Already in his mind, he has slain the boy. As he was going down with his hand, the angel of the Lord held his hand. Abraham. And then he told him to look in the tickets. It was a ram. Where did the ram come from? And that's where Jehovah was called Jehovah Jireh. And the prophet said, when God has a need, he will create it. When God has a need, he will create it. At that point, Abraham has to lose the boy and go and pick the ram and offer him for sacrifice. We talk about the children of Israel. Just talk about one or two things. We talk about the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness, God gave them manna to eat. That's a supernatural provision. It does not bake from the bakery of the earthly bakery. It's coming down, raining down from heaven. And the way God will even prepare it, dew will have fallen on the earth to dampen the dust, to keep the environment clean before the manna will fall on the ground and then we'll go and pick it. You read your Bible so? Eh? That's the way it is. God is a God of hygiene. Yeah. He even told the children of Israel not to mess around the camp. If they're going to do that, the major, they have to go and dig ground. After they are done, cover it up. He said, because I am in your midst. When I'm walking in your midst, I don't want to see those things. Amen. He's in the midst of his people, but invisible. He's here in our midst, but invisible. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. He sees my desires. He sees your desires. He sees your life. He sees my life. He sees the condition that you are, and which cannot be hidden before him. He sees your challenges. He sees the mountains before you. He sees the valleys. He sees the steeps. He sees all the rugged road that you are passing through. He sees everything. And that is why he made a promise. That is why it's supernatural to be able to meet our needs. And he supplied manna, and then they were eating that. They didn't query, where did this manna come from? They were thirsting for meat. At a point in time, he told Moses, don't worry, they will eat meat, they'll be tired. He supplied quail to them, as we said last Wednesday. They needed water. The water they first met on the way, bitter water, it turned into sweet water. take a stick there and throw it in there. That's supernatural. Ordinarily, you can't do it. Ordinarily. If you have sugar in your house, go and put sugar inside water and go and cut a stick and say, let it turn to bitter water. It cannot. Or go and put a wuro, squeeze it, let the juice fall inside water. It becomes bitter. Then go and take a stick and throw it there. Let this water become sweet. It takes the supernatural to give that instruction. If God give that instruction, it will be exactly so. And that's how miracles are performed. It takes the intervention of the supernatural of God. And when we talk about miracle, it is doing things that are beyond man's comprehension, that are beyond what man can fathom. The Yoruba interpretation of miracle. And then you say to my man, can you miracle? Iyanu is expressive now. Iyanu unto yanya nienu alainu alepade. When you see what has been done, enu yani. That's what miracle is. You mount agape. Look at it and say, what? Can this happen? That's what our God is. And that was in the Old Testament. Let's move a little bit. This time is limiting me. But let's look at the New Testament. What the supernatural God did. In Mark, I think chapter 6, where Jesus Christ asked the disciples to cross to the other side. And they were going. And he went down to the bottom of the boat to go and rest. And when he got to the bottom of the boat and he was resting, then Mark, I think that should be in Mark chapter 4. And he was resting. While he was resting, he had the devil came. He came in with his supernatural power. He caused storms on the sea. He wanted to get them drowned. Please get us Mark chapter 4 from verse 30. He wanted to get them drowned. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or we walk on practicing shall we have it? Well, let's just start from here. It is like it. No. Let's come down so that we don't waste our time. Go. Move. Yeah. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. Who spoke? The supernatural God. Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. That was not natural. The prophet told us that the wind that blows, that give us oxygen, that blows and cools our body and give us cool environment. The prophet said that's the breeze that God created. He said, but when it becomes a storm, he said that's when the devil enters into it to cause havoc. So when you see storm, blizzard, hurricane, tornado, and all those, you know, destructive natural phenomena that human beings cannot counter, only providing preventive measure for themselves. You have to run away from the pathway of those things. It is the devil that got into it. That's not God. And so it's the devil here that is working here. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. What was the devil? The prophet told us the devil wanted to sink them. Remember, a river just finished. And they were testifying, talking, you know, that was another instance. And he said, but I'm going to sing them. And he came with this. And then the disciple came out and said, that carest thou not that we perish? The prophet will have. The understanding of God's promises, the revelation of God's promises unto us, will stabilize our lives. And that is why we need supernatural manifestation of God. We need God to make himself known to us. Confirmations of our, you can go to God and pray and ask God for confirmation. This, I need confirmation for this. Because he answers prayers. He's a supernatural God that communicates, that fellowship with his people. He talks back. When you talk to him, he talks back. Depending on the channel that he communicates with you. He speaks. He talks. Only that he may not be audible. He may be some other ways. But he's supernatural. He talks. When you ask him certain questions, sometimes it comes through the minister to come and answer your questions. But you have to recognize that he's the one. So he's showing you that he's supernatural. You cannot be thinking something in your mind. You cannot have a question in your mind. A man cannot answer your question until you have expressed it to that person. But here is God. Even in your mind, you have some things in your mind that you don't even express. And you see him walking on them. You see him walking on them. I want to tell you, every day, every minute, every hour, God is working for our favor. When I say for our favor, I mean all encompassing. He's working all encompassing. He's working for our favor. He's working for our joy. He's working for our place. He's working for our victory. He's working for everything about us. For our healing, for our deliverance, for us to get Holy Ghost. He's working for us. He's working for our favor. Because if he told them in Jeremiah chapter 11, and he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The thought that I think towards you. He said, not of what? Not of evil, but of peace. And to give you an expected end. That is what he told his people, and that's what he tells us today too. God, we have to take the same Bible. What he told them, we have to apply it to ourselves too. Because we have a better covenant than they had. Don't you think so? They were in the shadows, we are in the reality. Yeah. So the reality is stronger than the shadow. You say, Brother Joshua, what are you saying? Yes. Let me give you an example of that. I know this time is going. The reality is different from the partial realization. This is a perfect realization that we are in. The partial realization, they couldn't go before the presence of God. They were kept set aside. The paradise was set aside with hell. As we are told by the prophet, when the saints of God in the New Testament died, they couldn't go up. Why? Because under the blood that they operated, partial realization. But when the perfect realization came, they rose with him. He emptied that place, and then they went to the sixth dimension. I mean, the sixth dimension opened for the people to go. But those who resurrected him went with him. So we are in a perfect realization where we are more reality of the promises of God. And that is what God used our prophet to come and demonstrate, that he is the God of supernatural. Now, this part that we are talking about, the devil wanted to sink the sea. Hey, our projector man. He wanted to sink them there using his supernatural perverted power to sink them. And that's what he does on daily basis. What happened to Mama Martins yesterday evening was the devil that wanted to do a work. My wife on Wednesday, I don't know whether she gave the testimony, Wednesday last week, she was going to the campus, and just at the point of Samunda, where you will cross to the Dominican community. When you are coming from Songo, at that point, you know, you have this mass transit company. Is that the cab that she was in was getting to that point, and there was a bus already loaded coming from this mass transit company that just ran in front of them. Bomber to bomber, he hit their vehicle. You can imagine somebody coming from the mass transit company, and here was another that has the right of way, and he came to, and they came down and began to beat the driver. I said, I wish I was a lawyer. I will take the case of Ramaho. That company will pay very seriously. In fact, maybe I'm going to read law and become a lawyer. Well, all of you are looking at me. Well, you might have your own opinion about lawyers. I have my own opinion about lawyers. We need them. We need them among us here. We need many things that we are suffering because we don't have lawyers here. No matter how much you want to say they are liars, that's just personal opinion. We need lawyers. There are many things that we should have fought and will have been free from if we have lawyers in the message. But we don't have. And those ones that we have, you know, we just say things that discourage their mind. We are supposed to speak to encourage their mind, to let them know that truly, when there are people, when we have witnesses in any profession, that's what I believe. If we have witnesses in any profession, even in the police, God, we have witnesses. If we have witnesses there, it's not your work, it's not your responsibility, it's God's responsibility. Once he chooses to do it, he will do it. After all, in the palace of the Caiaphas or whatever, there was somebody, the wife of one of the people that was a servant to, how do I put it? I think I you get what I'm saying. Many of you read the scripture. That's a believer. But yeah, the husband is the believer or the wife is the believer. And maybe the husband was the one that was serving with the high priest or something, because the Bible tells us that God will have representative anywhere. It is God. How are you going to judge? You know the example God gave us about the white throne judgment is that you will come up in anywhere you are, in your neighborhood, in your profession, in this, because you are standing for God there, you will be a judge to those people. Oh, I mean, this profession is very difficult to maintain righteousness. They will tell you that I was in the same profession. You have no excuse. Ah, you cannot be a good teacher. You cannot be this one. I was a teacher. God help me out. I was this. That's where the judgment is going to be.
May God be our help. If I'm younger than this, I will still go and read law. And I mean it. God bless you. Well,
so what we are saying here is that the devil wanted to sink him
together with the disciple with his perverted supernatural power. But the master of the sea cannot be sunk.
He's the one that created, the one that was using the power against him.
He has the antidote. He has the power. He has what he can use to neutralize his power.
So when the disciple ran to him and said, "Ah, carest thou not we perish, that we perish?" He will have told them, "Perish with who? Me perish with you? You don't know what you are talking about." And he just stood by the brink of the sea, and he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace,
be still." Let's bow down our heads. The supernatural God is here. He's the one that calms the storms.
He calms the storms. And he said, peace be still. It takes the supernatural power to calm the storms. Whatever storms that are in your life, the raging sea, turbulent, that the enemy has stirred up, the supernatural God is here to steal it. He's the master of the sea, the maker of the rain. You can cause the sun to shine again. Don't you believe? Every storm, every wind that is blowing contrary to the natural. Every storm of healing, every storm of backsliding, every storm of sick, of sin, of fear, of doubt, of bondage, of affliction, of any kind, the master of the sea is here to calm it. Talk to God. Whatever storm is in your life, invite him to come and calm it. He's here. He has calmed it before. He will still calm it. He's the present help in time of trouble. He's the supernatural God that performs miracles. It's a miracle to calm the storm, to stop the raging sea. It's the supernatural God. What is that storm? Your finance? Over your children, your job, your health, every area of your life, what's the storm? What is the contrary wind that is blowing? Wind of sorrow, of sickness, of disease, of dejection, of affliction of the devil. The master of the sea is here. It's the supernatural God that caused those things that be not as though they were. And those things that be, it takes them out of existence when they will not bring glory and praise to his name. He is the master of the sea. What is that sea that is raging? The raging sea, boisterous winds that is blowing. Will you invite the master of the sea to come and calm the storm? Please project that song for us. I will want us to sing that song together while we are still in the mode of prayer, but you can look at it. The chorus, please. I don't know the stanzas. I know the master of the way. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms and make the sun to shine again. Oh, I know the master. Do you know the master of the wind? And you know the maker of the rain? If you know him, be on your feet. Why you commit yourself to him? Calm every storm in my life. Storm of financial storm, material storm. Storm of sicknesses and disease and affliction, backwardness. Lack of spiritual and physical breakthrough. Storms of the enemy. Raging sea of the enemy. The master of the sea is here. The maker of the rain is here. He can calm every storm. He's more capable to calm every storm. Because it's supernatural. His power is above every other power. He breaks the yoke of the enemy. He breaks the power of the enemy. He has done that on the cross. And we see manifested today. I know the master of the way.
Let's commit ourselves to God. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tosses, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where it lies. All the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Be still. A tempest may be raging, the storms may be gathering, the billows may be raging, but there is a master of the sea. He creates the sea, created the waters, and he can speak peace. Be still. If he spoke it once, and there was peace, he can speak again and again and again. Anytime that the storms raging, going beyond his boundary, the master of the ocean, the master of the sea is still alive. He can still speak peace. Be still. Why don't you commit yourself to God? The word of God has spoken, and then, all right. What about the stanza? Is it there? Yeah. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing up. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is none. Carest thou not that we perish? How can thy lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tosses, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey. My weak, oh peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey. My weak, peace, peace be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief to thee. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and say, I pray. Forests of sin and of anguish sweep on my sinking soul. And I perish, dear master. Oh, sin and take control. Your wings and the way shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tosses, or demons or men, and wherever it be, no water can swallow the ship where he lies. The master of ocean and earth and skies. Oh, they all shall sweetly obey. My will, peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey. My will, peace, peace, be still. While we are in his presence, the disciples initially made human efforts by removing water from the boat, by paddling the best that they could. All effort seems to be failing, and the ship is waterlogged, and the resultant effect of this will be that they will go down. But at the most desperate hour, then they remembered that the master himself that said, let us cross to the other side, is right in the ship. It was that recognition that made them to cry out, Master, carry down all that will perish. The master in rebuke come back, say, you and who is perishing? Did I say, let us go into the ocean to perish? I said, let us cross to the other side. That is the word of the master. And what he said yesterday is he saying today, his children, they cannot perish in the midst of the ocean. They must reach the other side. The prophet said that God is expecting us on the other side. What Jesus said then is what his prophet have said now. And the word of God is continuous, and it will come to pass as he has spoken. And we are in the line of duty, and we see the enemy coming here, coming here. Wants to blind the eye of some of us. I know about four of us in this building that have eye problem of late. Just not seeing whatever. Satan, what do you want with our eyes? We are in the line of duty. And we have people, different people here and there with many things. Because we are the only enemy Satan has now. And he thought that he has to deal with this last group. We have to tell the devil now that, listen, that the master said, we are crossing to the other side. We cannot perish in the midst of the ocean. So the storms and the waves, they must obey our will. Peace be thou still. Let us pray. Gracious eternal Father, we thank you very much for the privilege to be in your presence again this afternoon and to receive your word of faith. Dear Lord Jesus, your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you, O God, for what you did in the time past. Thank you for what you are doing at the moment. Thank you for the things that you have already put in place that you will do until we finally arrive at your feet. Dear Jesus, We are yours. We are believers of your word. We don't have any other God except you. And Lord, from before we even came out of the womb of our mothers, you foreknew us like Jeremiah. And Lord, you have ordained us to achieve for you something on this earth before we come back unto you. We are in that line of duty, and the enemy has come around to try to want to tamper with this and that, which perhaps might have told you that wants to go and do certain things. But we remember that you gave instruction to Satan that there is a boundary that you cannot pass. Dear Master Jesus, we realize, oh God, that this your word, what is calling us onto, is that Satan is attempting to cross his boundary. Therefore, as your children, at this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ, we resist the devil. We reset his works. We send him back to where I come from. We take our position and our stand as your sons and daughters. And we declare with all assurance of your word that we are in the line of duty. And Lord, all that we have need of to make the voyage successfully, thou Satan, remove your filthy hands from them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, speak peace to every area of our life. Spiritually, speak peace to everyone. Physically, speak peace. Materially, speak peace. Health-wise, speak peace. Financially, speak peace. Dear God, it is your will that we prosper and also be in health as our soul prospered. Your will has to prevail. Satan, remove your filthy hands from God's properties in the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that your anointing, the anointing of your spirit, we quicken this that we have had into our heart, that will go with this strength and say to the devil that it's a disappointment, it's a failure, and he has lost the battle. Dear Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you are physically present here, and we speak the same way of those disciples, the only thing is that you might rebuke us of our unbelief, which we confess that you help our unbelief. Take away doubt from us. Take away fear from us. Take away negativity from us. And we invite you at this hour to rebuke every works of the enemy and to scatter them completely. Because that is what you have manifested to do, to destroy the works of the devil. May the works of the devil in individuals' life, in every family, in the local assembly, in every area of our life, may they all be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be, dear Father. Your daughters that came to the altar and your sons, whatsoever they desire, may you give unto them. May they live with a substance in their heart that you have heard their prayers. Let it be, dear Father. Bless every one of us. There is no single person here that does not have a need when it comes to things like this. One area or the other that the enemy is trying to make effort. Because your prophet has said that he will constantly be fighting us until we leave this place. Satan, though you fight, we have been told by God's word that you will fight, but you will not prevail. So we declare at this hour that you are a failure. You cannot prevail. Jesus Christ has prevailed for us and has handed over unto us the victory. We receive our victory in the name of Jesus Christ. In every area of our life, we are victorious. We are possessors of your blessing. We resist your work. We reset your work in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. May all the glory be yours and the blessing be ours, your children. Bless your servant you have used to bring your blessings unto us. Recall him a little the honor of his ministry. Thank you, eternal Father. As we enter into this week in this mind, we ask that the angel of the Lord will lead the way. May the week be full of your blessing, maybe full of your protection, maybe full of your mercies, maybe full of your favors, maybe full of your healings, maybe full of your deliverances. May you rain blessings, O God, upon us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. That when we come back, O God, both on Wednesday and next week, Sunday, that your house will be full of testimonies. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Take us home safely. Be with students, workers, business people, travelers, business, everyone, may you prosper all of us. Those that are jobless, make a way for them. Those looking for what to do, this week open doors of mercy for them. May you favor your people. Lord, rebuild the valor for the sake of your people. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Your servant that is in Ghana that will be coming this week, bring him back safely. To you be glory, to you be honor, to you be adoration. Once again, Papa Luaro Timi will commit him into your hands, that Lord, your angel will stand by him at this time. Stand with the family at this time. Make a way where there is no way. Stop the activities of the devil in that family. Raise up a standard, O God. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget the announcement in the morning or afternoon. May God bless every one of us. We're dismissing and our physical garden next by God's grace will be Wednesday, as we trust that the Lord will continue his blessings with us. Brother Joseph hopefully might be taking off from Ghana Tuesday. Maybe it will be him by the Wednesday. Let's be prayers for him for safe trip when he will come. God bless you. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, it's always just the same. Oh, oh, praise his holy name. Oh, that is the reason why I love him so. Hallelujah, oh Jesus is the sweetest. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I know it's always just. Yes, oh, praise his holy name. Oh, that is why I love him so. Hallelujah, oh. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, Lord, I know. He has the works of men. Oh, you are the best. They are the works of men. You are the only one. There is none like you. Oh, Lord our God. They are the works of men. You are the only one. There is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Jesus is alive.
Lord, forever in the land. Oh, I'm so happy that the Lord brought me out. I'm so happy that the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord.